Hello, everybody. I hope you are having a great day and a good week. Today, I want us to think about the newness that is offered in Christ and how we should respond to it. What is it about newness that is so attractive to us and to our world? What is it about a new school year? Or a new job opportunity, or the bringing in of the new year on January 1st. What is it about these things that cause us to be excited, to look forward to them, to anticipate their arrival? You know, I think we all recognize that we have a innate desire within us for a fresh start, for a new beginning, for a new opportunity to change and to be better and to grow. But if we're all being honest, we know that the new beginnings, the fresh starts that the world offers are oftentimes shallow. They oftentimes fall flat. They oftentimes don't accomplish what we wished they would. Because we know that just because the calendar changes from December 31st to January 1st, the same habits and shortcomings and failures we had in the year before follows us into the new year, follows us into the new school, into the new job opportunity. See, the problem with the newness that the world offers is that it actually has no transformative power. It does not possess the ability to truly change who we are. So that's why it always falls flat, even though we look forward to it time and time again. But I want us to think about the newness that is offered in Christ. Because we see this is a newness, a fresh start, a new beginning that isn't like the ones offered in the world, but rather it is significant. It's powerful. It has the ability to truly transform and change who we are. And this is because it is backed by God himself and not the desires and the will of man. So with that thought in mind, let us flip over to Romans chapter 6. This is where we're going to start, and then we're going to look at one other passage after this. But for right now, let's look at Romans chapter 6. And here in Romans 6 and Romans 5, Paul had addressed the grace that Jesus has brought to the world through his sacrifice on the cross, the free gift that is of grace that is now offered in his name. But here in chapter 6, he is quickly instructing us that just because we have experienced a free gift in Christ, that does not mean that we should not have a proper response to it. That just because we've freely been given grace does not mean we should take it for granted and not give any thought as to how we live and our response to it. He says in chapter 6, starting in verse 1, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin, that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him in baptism, into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." So there's a few things I want to point out from this passage in our conversation about the newness offered in Christ. We see at the beginning of this passage that Paul makes the claim, how can we who've died to sin still live in it? The idea is that if we have responded to Christ in faith and obedience, we've been baptized into him, then the idea is that you have died to sin. That just as Christ died and was buried, that we too have died to our old self and it has been buried. And just like Christ was raised, we too, when we are raised out of the waters of baptism, are raised a new person, a new creation, who is no longer living for our own sinful ways, but we are living for Christ. And that's exactly what he says in verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him in baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So it's important, before we go any further in this discussion, to realize what is being taught here. That there is a newness that is offered in Christ, the opportunity for a fresh start, for the past to be forgiven, for you to be different and better going forward. But we see that it is only offered in Christ. And that it is, we only get to experience this newness in Christ when we respond to him in faith and obedience and ultimately in baptism. Because it is in the act of baptism that we are buried in Christ, and then we are raised to walk, as the text says, in newness of life. So with that in mind, let us flip over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul and Timothy and Silvanus are ministering to the church at Corinth, a church that is still heavily influenced by the sin and destruction and perversion of the world. And they are informing them how their faith in Christ is meant to change the way they think, the way they behave, the way they treat one another. And here, let us begin in 2 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us. Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. When Paul makes a summary of the foundation of his message, of the essence of the teaching that he's trying to get across, he says it's this, that the love of Christ controls us, that the ministry of Paul and Timothy is controlled by the love of Christ. And why is that? Because they have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. This is at the core of the ministry of Paul and Timothy and Silvanus, and it is at the core of what it means to be a Christian. That one, Jesus Christ, has died for all. And the response that his people are meant to have when they are baptized into him is that they all have died as well. And what does that mean? He continues in verse 15 that says, he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. So we see that when we come to Christ, this marks two things. It marks an end to our old self that is living only for our own selfish desires and pleasures and accumulating all types of sin and destruction. He says that comes to an end. That is over the moment we come to Christ. He says, and then it marks something else. It marks a new beginning. That we are no longer living for ourselves, but we are living for Jesus Christ, the one who for our sake died and was raised. That there's a transition, there's a change, there's a turn within us. That this is now what our lives are about. This is a new beginning, a fresh start, a transformation that is only made possible by God himself. To continue this thought further, look in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The claim that Paul is making is that coming to Christ doesn't just tweak who we are. It's not just making a few slight modifications, just changing a few things here and there. But no. That if we are in Christ, we've been baptized into him, that it is like we are a new creation, that we are a completely different person because of Christ. The old man of sin and guilt and shame is gone. And what is left is this new creation that has been brought in by Christ, where we are forgiven and we are free to follow Christ with all that we are, following His standards, His path, His teaching, instead of our own desires. So what does this mean for us today? You see, as I began with in this study, we know that we all have a desire for newness, for a fresh start, for a new beginning. But let us remember that any newness, any fresh start, new beginning that is offered in the world ultimately will always let us down, because those things are all based around ourselves, our own willpower, our own strength, our own abilities. And these things will ultimately fall flat and fall short of our expectations. But let us remember that the newness, the fresh start, the transformative power that is found in Christ will never let us down. When our hope is placed in that, we can rest assured that we will not be put to shame, because this newness is backed by God Himself. It's not based off our own power, but it's based off His. And the promise of the gospel is that to those who are in Christ, to those who respond to Him in faith and obedience and baptism, that God Himself will make them new. He will forgive them of their past sins. He will bring them into a close relationship with Him, and He will empower them to live for Christ, transforming us from the inside out, where we are continually repenting of our sins and growing in our obedience in Christ, becoming more and more what we ought to be, becoming more and more of the person that we all desire to be. And this is only possible by God Himself. Today, let us thank God for the grace and mercy that He has made available to us through Christ. And if we are looking for transformation, we're looking for a fresh start, we're looking for a new beginning, we're looking to be made new, let us look to Christ alone. May the Lord bless us in this effort. Thank you.